DW Africa Link.
Kenyans woke to the somber news that longtime politician and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga had passed away suddenly while in India. With the exact circumstances of his death being finalized, one thing is already certainly clear. Odinga leaves a massive legacy in Kenyan society and the political scene. And it's that legacy that we're going to discuss today. Already, President William Ruto paid tribute in a national address and announced a 7-day mourning period.
It is with deep sorrow that I inform the nation of the passing on of the Right Honorable Raila Amolo Odinga, our former Prime Minister, Kenya's foremost statesman, and one of Africa's greatest sons. I have declared a 7-day period of national mourning, during which the national flag shall fly at half-mast across the Republic of Kenya and in all our missions abroad. As a mark of respect, I have postponed all my public engagements for the coming days, and I ask all other public servants and leaders to do the same. In his passing, we have lost a patriot of uncommon courage, a Pan-Africanist, a unifier who sought peace and unity above power and self-gain.
In this special podcast, we will also hear from ordinary Kenyans about how they will remember Raila Odinga. So, stay with us. I'm Kai Nebe. This is Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from across Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
To many Kenyans, Raila Odinga has been more than a political figure. He was a cult hero, a constant presence in their lives. His sudden passing has left a deep void. Odinga's towering presence in Kenyan politics, his championing of democracy, and his symbol of resilience have left a lasting impact. Even his critics, of which there were many, acknowledge his influence. To capture the public's reaction, DW hit the streets of Nairobi as news of Odinga's passing was still fresh.
Our greatest person in the world has just died. I don't know how this Kenya is going to survive. He was the only person who could unshake. He was the only man who could make peace in Kenya. Yeah. He was the only man who people loved in this world.
Yes.
How, surely? Is this really true?
No.
We don't really believe it. How is our politics going to come in future? He was the only person who could stand with us. The only person who could stand with the kids. The only person who could stand with our Gen Zs.
Yes.
How comes? This is so sad.
Today is a very big blow to us and to me myself. As I was growing like a little girl, I knew Raila, but I didn't meet this face. But when I was growing as a big girl, when I voted my first vote in 2007, I knew Raila as a person. And Raila was a real politician. He knew how to bring peace, how to collect his people, Luos. He didn't have tribalism. He was for everyone, every child. For education, Raila stood with education for Kenyans. Medication, I don't know how Kenyans are going to survive without Raila. Raila was a man, a true Luo man. I'm really stressed about Raila's death.
We have lost a very great person today.
But what does his death mean for Kenya's political future? To discuss the many aspects of Odinga's legacy, I'm now joined by Estelle Mwai, an analyst and women's rights advocate based in Nakuru County, and DW's correspondent in Nairobi, Andrew Wasike. Maybe the first thing I'd like to ask you, Estelle, like, what was your initial reaction?
Yes, it came as a surprise, for real, because most of us were not expecting such sad news, because we remember just last week, when his wife, Mama Ida Odinga, spoke, she just was very casual about it. She was like, Baba is okay, as we fondly call him in Kenya, and he will be back. So no need to worry, no need for alarm. So when the news broke this morning, it was such a sad, a very dull, a very dark morning for us as a country, and especially for us who are in the civil society space and people who really appreciate what he has done for democracy in this country. So it was really a time for me to just try and think about what a legacy this great man has left. What about me when I depart from this earth? So it was that heavy on us and even for me.
Andrew, just taking up from what Estelle has said, you know, considering the legacy of Raila Odinga, can you just, for listeners who may be not so familiar with Kenyan politics, just give us a sort of a brief look at why he is so revered in Kenya, even respected by those who he has been in opposition against?
That is because Raila Odinga has been in the business of politics for decades. You know, he has been there as the leader of opposition. He has run this country as the prime minister. So there's no child, even people aged between, let's say, 12 to 30, 40. The name Raila Odinga is in everybody's mouth. He has tried to become president in Kenya 5 times, you know, and he has always clinched the second position. So Raila was a unifying figure, especially for the opposition, something that we have, like for me, since I knew what politics is, Raila has always been in the opposition. And now I am in my mid-30s. You see, so my whole life, I have always known about the name Raila Odinga as that person who will always fight for my rights, as that person who will always give keep the government that is in power in check, just celebrating his life.
Right. And Estelle, to come to you on that, Odinga's long, long career in politics, starting from the time as a opposition leader, he was in detention at various points during his political career. He was a very important kingmaker throughout his career at certain points. There were also a lot of disappointments that he dealt with that Andrew has also mentioned. However, now that he has gone, would you say that maybe Kenyan politics, or perhaps even the Kenyan opposition or those opposed to the government, are, you know, have lost more than just a person here?
More than just a person. He's a towering figure in the democracy of this country, because remember his legacy in Kenyan politics, it is a legacy of resilience. It is a legacy of reform, you know. Relentless pursuit for justice and inclusivity. We have seen it. We have lived with it, as Andrew has said, some of us since we were born. We got him in this, you know, in this quest for a better country, as he always said, that Kenya is for all of us. So I think there is a very big shift that is going to happen even in the opposition, because a time like now, we have had very many voices coming up and talking about a unified opposition. Very many, leaders who are opposed to the current government of the day, but none of them really has shown the gusto and, you know, the kind of oomph that the late Right Honorable Prime Minister Raila Odinga has had over the years. So maybe it will be a time of wait and see what the opposition is going to do different, but they have learned from the best. And this legacy is going to take a long, long time before anyone, you know, comes close to what Raila has been able to do for Kenya as a country.
You know, as you say, that there is a hole in the opposition, but Kenya is also heading, you know, Kenya will live on beyond Odinga, and so will the opposition. So with those in mind, how do you see things perhaps shifting as Kenya slowly starts preparing for elections, which I know are only due in 2027? But is there a search on for perhaps a real successor, but perhaps a spiritual successor, someone who carries forward that spirit of resistance for Odinga?
Yes, we have seen that spirit in some of the young politicians that he has groomed in this country. For example, we have the Secretary General for the ODM party. He has come up as a younger version of Raila Odinga. So definitely the opposition will be there, and we will have people like Edwin Sifuna, the current Secretary General. We will have people like Babu Owino, who have been groomed by Raila Odinga since their school days at the student leadership at the University of Nairobi, for the case of Babu. So let's say there is a successor, and the successor will come up especially now after the burial and everything has happened, we are going to see a lot of voices coming up because we believe he has groomed people who are able to take up the mantle.
Right. And Andrew, one of the things that we can talk about Raila Odinga was his persistence in politics, which even when, as you mentioned, he was unsuccessful in his pursuit of the presidency. Can you maybe talk about some of the criticism that was leveled against him, which maybe led to him not being successful as a, you know, as a presidential candidate?
So, like I said, he ran for president 5 times. This was in 97, 2007, 2013, 2017, and 2022. But he never captured the presidency. So there are some things that he has been criticized for over the years, because they Kenyans say that Raila Odinga has always been this leader who would always challenge the elections. This is a form of criticism. And then there's also that point whereby ethnic clashes, you remember 2007, 2017, even 2022, there were ethnic clashes. So people have always tied these ethnic clashes, not only to Raila Odinga, but also to the leaders in question. Let's say, for instance, Uhuru Kenyatta when he won, William Ruto when he won, and also Mwai Kibaki. Now, most recently, what has been troubling Odinga is that he got into a partnership with the current Kenyan president, William Ruto. And Kenya has not had an opposition. This is what political analysts have been saying. Kenya has not been having an opposition for a very, very long time, because once they sat down and they had some sort of handshake with President William Ruto, then everybody turned against Odinga. They forgot the decades and decades of struggle that Odinga fought for them, you know. Yeah, and you could understand this also because so many Gen Zs looked up to Odinga. This is somebody they did not know, but they knew that this is somebody who has been championing for our rights. He has been fighting for us. So they found the situation to be a sort of Odinga had betrayed them. And this is why there are some people who also do criticize some part of his legacy.
And Estelle, I can hear you are also wanting to add to this. Do you think that the point offered by Andrew there is in some regards also worthy of mentioning there? Is that a point that is really something to consider?
Yeah, like everyone forgot about the struggles that the former prime minister went through when he was in detention during the Moi era. And everyone forgot about his struggle for, you know, the new constitution. And everyone was just running against him. But we can see that he meant well for the country. And we hope that maybe the one who will take up the mantle will be smarter and even have a more resilient spirit.
He is also regarded across the continent as somebody who believed in sort of a pan-Africanist ideal. In fact, he also vied for position of leadership within the African Union, which, again, he was not successful in attaining. But Estelle, can you talk a bit perhaps about his legacy as a pan-Africanist and what that meant also for Kenyans, knowing that he saw Kenya as part of this bigger, something bigger than just the country?
Yeah, we can see the outpouring of tributes, and that tell you that truly he was a pan-Africanist and his work is recognized, you know, across Africa and even beyond. And even in his role as the representative for, you know, infrastructure, remember his role? And he really carried it out very well from 2013, I think so. So we can see that he was even involved in the trying to stop the war in Sudan, you see, when he went to mediate between Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir, for that matter. we can see that he really put his heart to it. We can see that he really was trying to, you know, bring unity in that country just to make sure it is peaceful and that the citizens can be able to enjoy the inherent human rights, you know. And for him, it was all about the good for the people, the good for the African people. I was talking about his role as the African Union High Representative for Infrastructure Development since 2018, October to February 2023. You can see that he did a good job, you know. So it was not just about Kenya. This is a man whose heart was just bigger than even himself, you know, as maybe we can try to describe it. And we can see him as a candidate for the AU chairmanship. Still, he went on and he was disappointed. He didn't get the seat. But still, he continued with his work of, you know, trying to bring peace in Sudan. So this is a person who's, this is a gentleman, if I can call him that, whose legacy as a Pan-Africanist is going to live beyond two generations. They're going to read about him. They're going to talk about him because historically he has made a mark for himself.
Thanks for that. I want to come now to Andrew. We've talked about his position as a unifying factor for the opposition, his role as a Pan-Africanist. But one thing that I would like to talk about, and this is specifically in the context that you mentioned earlier regarding the criticism about the event that became known as the handshake, where you mentioned that, you know, there was a sense of betrayal among opposition leaders, opposition figures within Kenya, which we know is extremely complicated. But is there a scenario in which we can see that Odinga's passing might in fact galvanize an opposition, might galvanize a movement to come together rather than disintegrate because he is now no longer there? And first, I want to hear what Andrew has to say to this, but also to you, Estelle.
I would not want to assume what now would happen because Odinga is no longer with us. I would say that this is what, when you go to social media right now, this is what people are talking about. The handshake and criticism, they are talking about his legacy. But don't forget, Kai, that we are here because of that handshake. If Odinga did not give those handshakes, then I promise you, right now in Kenya, people will not even be able to do anything. Everybody will be celebrating him. Everybody was behind Odinga before the handshake with Uhuru, but that one was tolerated later on. But then with President William Ruto, a majority of, I would say a majority, slightly higher than half of the population were on Odinga's side, very, very strongly, everybody going out to the streets and all that, and they wanted his support. So I'll not assume and say that talks are about to come out from this and people assuming that, okay, this is what was agreed upon and all that. But for the next few weeks, months, or even years, people are still going to talk about this handshake between William Ruto and Odinga that ruined his legacy. I'm saying ruined because I've read numerous reports, I've spoken to analysts, I've spoken to Kenyans. They are mourning Odinga, yes, but they are not okay with that last bit on his lap, you know, this final race and then what happened.
Right. And Estelle?
Yeah, I think as Andrew rightly put it, the last lap of his race was not, was not very well received by especially Kenyans who looked up to him as the father of democracy and as the alternative voice for lending those who cannot be able to speak for themselves. People felt let down, because this broad-based government, as it is called here, it is called blood-based government, because people feel it is during this broad-based government that we had the Gen Z protests, and a lot of young people were killed. Very many senseless murders were happening on the streets, and we didn't quite hear his voice talking about it. Remember the case of the mask seller who was murdered in broad daylight, in cold blood. So a lot of people felt that him joining President Ruto, whose regime is associated with a lot of killings and a lot of mishappenings and a lot of misgivings and a lot of disregard of the rule of law and a lot of rubbishing of the constitution, a lot of people felt like, no, why is Raila Odinga going to work with this person? Yet we feel like he fought for the space we are living in right now, very good space. Why does he want to ruin it? So for us, as especially women in the space of civil society and just looking out for women who were tortured and who were killed during the different protests that were happening, we felt like, no, our voice is being, the father figure that we were looking up to, his voice has been gagged. Who will speak on our behalf when we are going to be downtrodden and we can no longer talk for ourselves? So we felt like, no, this was the wrong decision for Baba, as we fondly call him. And we felt like this one now has tainted his image and to some extent has really ruined his legacy, his enduring legacy of firm beliefs and firm decision making. We felt like, no, this is a different person. We cannot be able to reach to him. You know, we even felt he's part of the government, he's part of the regime that is oppressing us. So this last lap for the Right Honorable Raila Odinga, it was not a good one.
And just to add on to what you are saying, or basically another question for you there, can you talk a bit about, so there's two things there. Number one, perhaps that, you know, that his legacy was tainted, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, with his passing, do you think that, okay, well, even so his legacy may have been a bit tainted, he was still someone who we believe may have stood up for for us? And do you think that without him, that there is now going to be, it's going to be more of a problem for Kenya, that there is less public trust in political institutions and reform movements? Will his passing affect that?
I think it will affect that, because to some extent we believed if Baba is still around, we can be able to see some reforms that he has been pushing for, that he had been agitating for. And even the public trust in these public institutions has really gone down. And now with his passing, we believe that now the trust is even lesser, because in some quarters, people are talking about, why is it that he just passed on after this other handshake with this government? So it's like people feel like, no, these are institutions that we cannot trust. They are not to be trusted. We are on our own. And generally, there's a general feeling that, no, the public institutions have been ruined and there is no hope at all.
Right. If there was one thing that we could talk about, Raila Odinga, for each of you, perhaps, that was a lasting legacy that you would perceive as something that, you know, this is something Kenya will take on because of Odinga, what would they be? Well, I'll start with you, Andrew.
It is how Odinga was lionized. He was that person who never went down. He was that person who has always been the leader of opposition, the voice of the weak, the voice of Kenyans who cannot stand up for themselves. Whenever there was a catastrophe, he was the first person to be on ground. Whenever there was anything that the government was doing that, let's talk about shady, corrupt deals, he was in court fighting for Kenyans. So I think I will remember Odinga as being that lion that could not be brought down no matter what, because to many Kenyans, even to me, he's still my hero. And thanks to him, right now, many Kenyans are enjoying freedoms that they could not have if Odinga was not there to fight for them. So I think for me, he will be a hero from the opposition.
Right. And Estelle, from you, just as a closing comment.
I think we are just going to continue celebrating him as a champion of democracy, for standing firm against authoritarianism and, you know, standing up for electoral injustices. And we are going to remember him as a gentleman who really fought for his country for over four decades. And despite having never, you know, holding a public office that the presidency, I mean, he still influenced every administration through his vision. And he made sure that there was inclusivity in Kenya by lending his voice, especially when we had any catastrophe, when we had anything coming up that was affecting the whole country. We remember the issue of taxes before he joined the broad-based government. He was the first one to say, no, we have to go to the streets. We have to protest. So he has inspired generations, and we are going to remember him for his firm belief in justice, freedom, and the power of the people.
Huge thanks to DW's Andrew Wasike and Estelle MY, who joined us from Kenya.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
That's a wrap for today's edition of Africa Link. Remember, you're not just a listener, but an integral part of our community. Your insights and thoughts are vital in shaping our discussions and programming, so please share them with us. You can find all the Africa Link episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I'm Kainebe, and until next time, it's bye for now.
For mind.